And let's just take 1 minute just simply to arrive in the room. So, hello. It's interesting how even just a single moment to settle, to arrive, to move from one place into where we are now can really help center us and focus us. I want to talk today about, and we'll have a meditation on awareness of thoughts, on sort of take off the lid and look at what goes on in there under the hood. But first, I wanted to just spend a few minutes talking a little bit about the anchor and just as sort of a review of what that is and why it's important. In meditation, in this method of meditation that I'm teaching, it's really helpful to have an anchor, that place that you come back to when you find that your thoughts have wandered off. And it is a place of refuge. It's a place that you come back to you can condition yourself to know that this is a place of calm. This is a place of centeredness, of presence in the moment. And the most common anchor for most of us, the most accessible anchor is our breath, to just pay attention to our breath, breathing in and breathing out. With that anchor, when we are anchored in our breath or in our body, or we're tuning into what sound is available, the minute that you come back to that anchor, you are in the present moment. You know, you can't be paying attention to your breath and not be in the present moment. So it's just something that brings us back. It is a refuge, a place that you can come to. As I say, the breath is the most common and the most comfortable, the most natural anchor for a lot of people. But for some people, there can be actually anxiety around really putting focus on the breath. For instance, if you have asthma, or if there's been trauma around the breath, and if there is anxiety, if that's not a natural anchor for you, then you can anchor in the body. Just come back to the awareness of your body, where you're standing on the earth or sitting in your chair or your hands resting on your thighs. It's nice to choose one place, one point of contact, just so that you're not constantly shifting from one thing to another. And if the body isn't a comfortable anchor, sound is a lovely anchor. What are you actually hearing in this moment? Just the ambient sound of the room or a car going on by outside. I'd ask you that you really try to find one anchor and stick with it. Our minds are restless and they play tricks on us all the time, and they're very busy, and they'll say, oh, it's just, I don't like the breath today. I think I'll try the body. Well, I don't really like the body. I think I'll try listening. To the degree that you can, just choose a single anchor and stay with it. At least stay with it through this meditation, especially early in your practice. Experiment. You may find one anchor is more comfortable for you than another. But if you condition to a particular anchor, it's always there for you. It is that place of refuge and of grounding. And I was reminded of it this week. I have a friend in Nebraska, this older ranch woman. She's now 97 years old. I've actually never met her, but we have corresponded for over 25 years. She's a poet, a really wonderful poet. And I connected with her when I wanted to anthologize some of her poems. She's 97 now, and she's in a care facility. And she's almost blind. She has very little hearing. So I've been calling her. Phone conversations are sometimes complex, but they're interesting and sometimes quite funny. You know, her daughter lives nearby, but can only see her through the window. And hopefully by the end of the month, that will change. But so it's, you know, she's in this situation that so many of our elders are, of being quite isolated. But I'm just always amazed by her positive spirit. She's just always cheerful. And anyway, I called her on Monday, and there's sort of a window where I need to call the front desk, and they go in and they actually call me on her phone because she can't hear the phone ring. And there's a window where I know she'll be awake in the morning that I try to call, and it was a busy day and I was running behind. And so I just, you know, sat down, picked up the phone and called, and I didn't do what I like to do, which is to just sit for a couple of minutes and center and grow quiet, you know, to just be there with the best presence that I can be. But I didn't, and I didn't do that. I just called her, and she was in a very different mood than she has been. She was really down and depressed and discouraged. And what happened, because I wasn't entirely grounded, I just went immediately to the sort of fallback positions that we have in that case. I, you know, immediately wanted to reassure her, or look what you can do, or these sort of banal things that we do. And I recognized that, and I could, you know, and I knew I didn't want to do that. I really wanted to come into a compassionate, open, listening presence. And so I could, because I'm used to this, I could remind myself, just go to your breath. I could breathe and I could settle. It would have been better if I'd settled beforehand, but that was available for me. And I was able to settle and be there with her in a way that I don't think I could have been if I didn't have that habitual place that I could go to ground. And I think this happens a lot, and it happens in relationships. You know, have you ever had a conversation that didn't go quite the way you thought it was going to go? Like maybe 90% of them. so that anchor is, it's there for you all the time if you just remember. So it's worthwhile spending some time to really choose it, become familiar with it. So what I wanted to talk about today was it's mindfulness of thought. I've talked about this before, but one of the biggest misconceptions about meditation is that it's about stopping thought. And it's not about stopping thought. We can't do that even if we want to, as long as we're alive. Our mind is thinking. That's its job. That's what it's going to do. But it's about becoming aware of thoughts and becoming aware of those thoughts that don't serve you. The Dalai Lama has said that some of your thoughts do not have your best interest in mind, so why would you continue to think them? At a later time, we'll talk a little bit about what to do with unhelpful thoughts. That's really not where I want to go today. I want to just bring a curiosity and an experimentation to what we're actually doing in there. You know, I've heard it said that we think 60 to 70,000 thoughts a day. And this is a number that's out there a lot. It's in the internet a lot. And I actually, when I was getting ready for this class today, I thought, well, where does that number come from? You know, I mean, who decided that? How did they figure that out? And I started researching it, and I can't find any actual source for that. But there is, just this past year, was work done at Queen's University in Canada that was using fMRI imaging they can't tell what people are thinking, but what they can tell is when one thought moves from, when you leave one thought and move to another. And what they found through fMRI imaging is that we do actually have 6,000 thoughts a day, somewhere in that neighborhood. It varies from person to person. It varies at stages of life. But we move from one thought to another that many times during the course of the day. And it's really extraordinary. We are sort of aware of being scattered, of thinking one thing and then thinking another thing. And within a big area of thought, like worry for my daughter, there are many different thoughts that can make up that general capacity. But the term that the Queen's University used, I thought was so interesting for each one of these transitions, was thought worm. it sort of captures it, you know? We can be really sort of just going along for the ride, not even knowing who's at the wheel. So to begin to notice, to begin to be aware, to begin to watch this is a really interesting experiment. I don't want to play with that experiment today. I want to bring your attention to that. And it's sort of, I mean, there's partly, it's a scientific inquiry, you know, look at this as a scientist might, just to watch what's going on. But I want to bring more playfulness than that into it, and more just appreciative curiosity. You know, if you have ever looked out the window and seen a child at play, and they didn't know you were there, and they were just completely and utterly caught in what they were doing at the moment. And it's charming and it's fascinating. And I want you to bring that same sort of attention to your thoughts today. And when you find that you have strayed, we're going to be working with staying with our anchor, but we will stray. Trust me, you will stray. It's not to judge that you shouldn't be doing that, or you're not doing it right, but just simply to notice, oh my, that's where I am right now. That's what I'm doing right now. And it's, you can begin to see the patterns of your thoughts. There's one thing about our thoughts is that they tend to be repetitive. I think I've mentioned to some of you this cartoon before, but there's a cartoon in the mindfulness world. You know those signs in big open country in the West that say, you know, next, no services for 120 miles. Well, this was a road sign like that in a desert road that just goes off into the vast nothingness. And it says, beware, next 300 miles, you are alone with your repetitive, boring thoughts. there's something of that to us. I mean, we may be worrying about getting our taxes done, or we may be worrying, I meant, about our daughter or an argument we had with a friend. And we can work things out. It's important to think about a conflict in our life or a worry that we have about someone we love. But chances are that you've been worrying, having these particular thoughts of worry about, say, your daughter or your grandson or whoever, for weeks, maybe even for months, and they haven't changed much. And that's what's so interesting to notice. So have a good time with this. Be playful. Be gentle with yourself. As I say, it's not a matter of doing it right. It's just, let's see where we actually go.